You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
disease. What's with your night?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Good morning, family. Peace to you. It is a beautiful day. It's Monday. And the day before the midterm elections across this country. And folks have voted already. Some will be getting out there to vote and so forth. And many people think that will change the conditions of our people. There is no doubt a condition might change for an individual or two or three, whatever, but collectively, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. So I hope you enjoy this day. I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should have did, most do it, will do, can do, will, whatever. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, you got it done anyway. And we really appreciate those who get things done on behalf of our people, whether it's within the family or within the community. Continue to get it done. This is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can listen to it on timeforanawakening.com. Go to timeforanawakening.com and look for the red, black, and green line with African Post, and those programs are dated and titled. And so you can check out a previously recorded program from African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media today, Monday. This evening, aside from my program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you have Monday evening Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming right out of Philadelphia. And then you've got Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Then on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Revive, Proof of Consciousness, Sister POC. Friday, if it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that is Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday Sports Talk, Troy Wilmore, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you're right, it ain't me. It's Sister POC with her program, Revive, on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., we have Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So we want to, and of course, that's on Sunday from 7 p.m. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And you can give your questions, comments, or concerns, or just give your African perspective on whatever the issue is that is being discussed that day. Let's Buy Black
We Buy Black, WeBuyBlack.com. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. They have a kiosk in, if you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. Check them out, WeBuyBlack.com. They're also having a convention coming up, and of course, everything that WeBuyBlack.com is produced by us. Laundry detergent, I can go on. But go on the website. Check it out. And also, too, go on the website to find out more about their convention coming up this month in a few weeks, November 16th and 17th at the Cobb Galleria Mall here in Atlanta. WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, Brother Tahimbe, Brother Bomani Tahimbe is taking our brothers and sisters once again to the motherland. It's November 16th through the 26th, less than $3,000. I'm not sure if there's any room left, but I'll have Brother Bomani on next week, and he'll be talking about the trip because the trip is coming up Friday the 16th. Friday the 16th. Is that Friday the 16th? I think it is. What do y'all say? Yes, it is Friday the 16th. It's coming up Friday, next Friday. That's next week Friday. I'm quite sure for those brothers and sisters, they're very excited, and they should be. November 16th through the 26th. And you'll be flying from here to New York to, from New York to Accra, Ghana. And when you get to Ghana, you'll be staying 3 days in Accra, then 3 days in Kumasi, and then 3 days in the Cape Coast. The Cape Coast is the Cape Coast Dungeon area where my good friend Sister Amakus has her property called One Africa, where you can stay there, and the little chalet she has there named after our ancestors, and I'm quite sure you can see the crypt of Baba. He's a former firefighter like me out of New York, no kidding, and he moved to Africa, him and Amakus. Nana Kofu. He got hit by a tro-tro. It's like a, remember those VW buses back in the day? Well, in Ghana, at least they did. I haven't been in Ghana for a few years now, but, you know, because things change fast. And I hope that the changes that may come are great improvements, and I hope that and pray that they will be. But he got hit, and, of course, emergency service is not what they are there as opposed to other places, particularly here. If you got hit, you have a great chance of survival. There, unfortunately, was not the case. And so, but let's get back on a positive note. There at One Africa in the Cape Coast Dungeon, because her property sits in between Cape Coast Dungeon and Elmina Dungeon, so I'm quite sure that we'll be visiting both of those wretched places. But other places, and quite sure, because it is a good trip. Now, he has a more extensive trip in May. And if you want to see that, you just go to the website, africafortheafricans.org, africafortheafricans.org. Give him a call, 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see photos of previous trips, particularly the latest one that happened back in May of this year, go to facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. I have done those things, and I've seen them. They're fantastic, and I suggest that you do the same. Books. We need to read. We need books. But I know a lot of us don't have time to read, but then, okay, fine. Go on YouTube and you can let the ancestors speak. But for those who want to read and enjoy reading, enjoy having books in their home, a couple of places here in Atlanta, a few places here in Atlanta. Hopefully there are some places in your area. I know there are no more places in Milwaukee. And I hope that maybe somebody has the courage and hopefully, more importantly, that the community will support the person who steps out and has a bookstore. One of the bookstores here in Atlanta is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Atlanta, 404-549-8678. And they have all kinds of stuff. They have books, they have clothes, they have furniture, they have artwork, they have artifacts, they have everything that you need at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Check them out at the Shrine. I know they have the upcoming Kwanzaa celebration and other stuff, so check out the Shrine. Also, too, bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. This is the Medu Bookstore. If you are in that area and you're checking them out and you go to the bookstore and there's something that you want and they don't have, they'll get it for you. They'll order it for you. Same with my good brother, Ajamu. Brother Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107, or just go to info@blackdotcc.com. Get everything. There's light in the Black Dot. The Black Dot. He has books and other things too. Check him out. Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu. Us Lifting Us. Ulu stands for Us Lifting Us. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to have Baba Hakima back on this program to talk about Us Lifting Us, making another pledge to our listeners and anyone to join Us Lifting Us. In this day of uncertainty, economics that are happening, I would think that brothers and sisters would understand that if we pull our resources, we will be able to do some things for ourselves. I know that we have been so whitewashed, so Europeanized. We've been infected with the Uruguay virus. We suffer from whiteitis. I could go on and on with these maladies. But the bottom line is something must change for us to do better. And one of the things that could make us and help us do better is Us Lifting Us. Economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, Ujamaa. And I'm saying to us, look into this, go online to usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and check out our program. The other thing is that we have a cafe, and I'm saying to us as well, join Us Lifting Us and support the cafe. Go online to support the cafe. Go online to cafeulu.com, cafeulu.com, and we have coffee. We have coffee. And we have coffee from Tanzania, Kenya, Cameroon. You know, we specialize in coffee. And, of course, the place coffee started from is Ethiopia. Had some Ethiopian coffee yesterday at the cafe. And the cafe is open Monday at 11 to 7, Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we're located at 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. And hopefully, if our people come together and pull these resources, you could have a Cafe Ulu in your neighborhood. You could have a Cafe Ulu in your neighborhood with stuff that we have, that we produce, providing a job for some brothers and sisters in your neighborhood. One of the products that we sell at Cafe Ulu is a very good vitality drink called Ambrosia. Ambrosia is the food of the gods. No, this is the drink of the gods. Brother Novak Young, check him out. go online to his website, CompleteOneBeauty.com, CompleteOneBeauty.com, and check out his vitality drink, Ambrosia, and all the original, the bite, the cinnamon, the gold, the green, and the benefits that are derived from there, because all of the drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, and organic cane sugar and chlorophyll. They also have hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. So check that out. A conference coming up in Washington, D.C. That's the Kemetic Morphosis Conference, December 7th, 8th, and 9th in Washington, D.C. at the Union Temple Baptist Church and at the Thurgood Good Marshall Center. The conference celebrates the 10th anniversary of the ASA Restoration Project. That's the first American African funded archaeological excavation in Kemet of the 25th Dynasty King. And it's just an outstanding job that Brother Anthony Broder has done. An outstanding job that he has done. So we want to give him hats off to what was happening with the Restoration Project. And we appreciate that. And I'm going to be in attendance there. And then maybe and go check out the brothers in Philadelphia while I'm out that way, you know. Not too far from there. Okay. So I'm supposed to have some sisters on the program today. They canceled. Well, two I know did. The other two or three, I'm not sure. So, but I would hope that if, you know, we would have a discussion that we would be on time. And I think maybe I'll make contact and see if something like me, if I dropped the ball. But, you know. We'll do it because I really want us to hear our sisters, hear what they're having to say. I really do, because I think it's vitally important that we get their perspective. That's why I always enjoy when Sister Susumi calls or Queen Ali or any of the sisters that call on the program. Sister Esmira, and unfortunately she was one who was supposed to have been on, but she, of course, she's a legislative assistant, and she just got a last-minute assignment to go do some work because, you know, the election is tomorrow. The big election is tomorrow. And I know that for those who are off into it, they want it to be an historic day, particularly here in Georgia, where Stacey Abrams is running for governor against a man who is the Secretary of State, who is in charge of the election. And everybody keeps saying, well, if I'm in charge of the election, I doubt very seriously if I lose. If I'm in charge of the election, that's why I'm saying don't be surprised. I mean, oh, they're running neck and neck based upon all the polls and who really, you know, sometimes believes those things. Also, too, they believe that Gillum, brother, in Florida, is beating DeSantis by 8 points. That's pretty large. Could they say three to four, maybe five, is still, you know, neck and neck. But when you see, when the percentage points are around about 10 or so, that's substantial. Because Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp here in Georgia is basically truly neck and neck. So, we'll see. And I'm quite sure me and Frank will talk a little bit about it, you know, what happened. Also, too, here in Georgia, there is a third-party candidate, I think a libertarian candidate. And because of that, there's a great possibility that there will be a runoff. That means nobody got over 50%. Neither candidate or any candidate got over 50%. So the top two
voting candidates will now have a runoff. So I'm not sure where those votes from the Libertarian candidate may go. Depends upon those who are going to vote, how they feel, and why they voted Libertarian. Were they voting that way because they're fiscally conservative, or they are conservative? Or are they voting that way because they feel neither party, and I agree, I'm not a Libertarian, but I agree neither party and about nothing, and so is they. You know, I would love to have a party that's called the Progressive Party. And this party, the Progressive Party, looks at issues affecting humanity. They don't look at partisan politics. They look at issues that affect humanity. They look at issues that would say to the world that this is the way we need to go to solve these things. Climate change, mass incarceration, health issues, you name it. This Progressive Party would be a party that would take into account issues affecting women, issues affecting men, issues affecting children, the elderly. That's the kind of party we need. That's the kind of third party that would be necessary. But, of course, we don't have that. We have this BS party of the Democrats and Republicans, and I've always maintained that there, for us, we should not be Democratic nor Republican. As I stated, we should be progressive. In fact, we should put forth a platform and then present it to any party, and if they agree to it, we support that candidate. And if they don't, we don't. Well, you gotta vote. No, you don't. Well, if you don't vote, it's like vote. No, you not. No, it's not. Because I didn't vote. That means that the other person won? No. What if I voted for that person that did win and that y'all don't like? I voted. Yeah, well, you didn't vote for the right. Well, what you mean the right one? The bottom line is this. Voting in and of itself will not change the overall conditions for African people. You've heard people talk, particularly just in the last number of days, about people who couldn't vote, and I'm going to vote for them because it's like, who was I listening to? It might have been Oprah talking about the brother that walked 6 miles and went one place and told him, no, you're in the wrong place. Well, this is what they told me. No, you're in the wrong place. Walked another 6 miles, and he was in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. Then he walked another distance and got to the right place, but wrong time. Sorry, polls are closed. You know, in their system, and this is their system, and I know that some brothers and sisters have been elected on a local level that have done some positive things on the local level. And that's cool. And that's cool. I'm going to desperately try in the next couple of weeks to put this sister panel together, see what happens with that in the next couple of weeks. Maybe because all of, well, that one sister, I don't know. Then the other sister told me she couldn't make it because of another commitment that she had to deal with. And so I understand these things. But we're going to, you know, make that happen. So I may talk a little bit more about this election process in a minute. But I'll tell you, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do, brothers and sisters.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. We're going to... I started the other day, so now that I do have this kind of time, I started the other day to talk about what I usually talk about on this program and give some support to what I talk about, and that is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And I had some technical difficulties, and like that happens from time to time. And I try my best to be consistent with this program on in terms of the time it comes on and the quality of the program and what happens with it. And I really appreciate being on Time for an Awakening Media with Brother Elliot and of course, Scotty Reed with Black Talk Radio Network. I'm very appreciative of those entities, and because by being involved with them, you are exposing yourself to an even wider audience. So that's great. And to me, there's no doubt that what Time for an Awakening Media does, and listening to Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday and Sundays, and listening to the other programming that we have on this network, it is all designed to put something on our mind, to get us to be think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in, to think outside of that, to then begin to look at it for what it is. And so one of the things that I talk about consistently is sovereignty. And so I'm going to talk about sovereignty, and then up to the top of the hour, and then I'll come back and have some further discussion, and you can join the conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Sister Marimba Ani, who wrote the book Urugu, which is a phrase that Jay uses, I use. Jay, brother from New York, who's a consistent caller, appreciate him. The Urugu, it's a book that Marimba Ani wrote about 20 years ago, probably now. But I consider it the Bible because I remember when I first picked it up. I mean, it's a thick book. And there's some terms in there that she uses. And what made me think of that when it reminded me of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, which we had a meeting yesterday at the cafe. It turned out very well. Good conversation with the brothers and sisters from ASCAC. But the book that ASCAC produced was called The Preliminary Challenge. And there's a chapter in that book called Can You Liberate Yourself in Someone Else's Language? This is not our language. This is a bastardized language. Brother Oshie, what do you mean a bastardized language? Well, this is an interpolated language. What that means is there's a whole bunch of languages that help create this so-called American English language. So many, even components that are produced or infused by us, by Africans, by Africa, you know. And so when we talk about liberating ourselves, because the language we are dealing with is not our own. And so the bottom line is, how do we do that? Well, number one, we got to know what we're dealing with. And in Marimba Ani's book, and it's subtitled, A African-Centered Critique of European Cultural Thought and Behavior. Urugu. What Urugu is an incomplete being. And that's what the Caucasian is an incomplete being. When you look at the Caucasians, and I say that all the time, and I know if you listen to this program, you hear me say it. We don't know what we're dealing with. We got to understand the development of the European, how he came into being. I ain't talking about the bald-headed scientist Yacoub and the grafting of that and making the Caucasian and so forth. No, I'm talking about human evolutionary development. like we did, like all human, like all species. At one time, this planet was a hot big ball of fire. And through the millennials, the millions of years, millions, it formulates to be the blue planet that it is today. But of course, the planet itself is in peril because of greed and short-sightedness. That's what I'm saying. I would love to have a political party that looks at things scientifically, culturally, humanistically, and makes decisions based on that research that is objective. That they say that this is a problem. This is what's causing the problem. This is what we do to stop that problem. To me, it's very clear that carbon monoxide and carbon, bring off carbon, brother, into the atmosphere, carbon dioxide, is a problem. They've been saying that now for decades. But yet, the world still goes on as if, just like I read the other day, the world is going on as if to say, well, you know what? Maybe the earth will correct itself. Not. And so if we as human beings, and if I had that my way, human beings says we're stopping. Right now, there will be no more cars manufactured nowhere in the world. There'll be no more cars manufactured that will use gasoline. All cars manufactured from this point going forward will be various energy types. Solar, big ass solar panel on top of your car, or built into the hood, built into, the trunk, top of the trunk, built in. So when the sun does hit, it stores it. So now your car, you could be able to, let's just say, in the storing process, your car can drive 300 miles a day. Wow, that's a lot on stored up energy. See, the problem is this, dear brothers and sisters, just like the problem with solar and wind. The sun is free. The sun is there. Buy some damn solar panels. Put them on your house. Find the mechanisms where you can tap that energy to store it so you can have electricity and you can have heating and cooling in your home. Or wind. Put a generator, a turbine, a windmill, and the air turns that turbine and it generates the electricity that you can store for heating and cooling and other uses for your for the electricity in your home. That is what is happening in some places around the world, but it needs to happen like that every place. But, of course, the big money folks don't want that to happen. Big oil. Ronald Reagan. That's why I keep saying Ronald Reagan was the worst president ever. But to Caucasians, he was the greatest president ever. Because of Ronald Reagan, the first thing he did when Jimmy Carter put those solar panels up on the White House, he took them down. And his boys, and he got the scientists to deny climate change. And he got his boys in big oil, just like Trump, his boys in big oil, to still push and peddle that death because of greed, selfishness, short-sightedness. That's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. The planet itself, and they're talking about in West Africa, you know, that the encroachment of the Sahara will continue to go further south. You know, because, you know, they talk about Africa. When you look at Africa and you see the map of Africa, the northern countries, which is, you know, a lot of them are desert, Algeria, Mauritania, Libya, you know, Egypt, all of those countries are heavily influenced by the religion of Islam. And then you got the desert that kind of breaks it. So those south of the desert, Sudan and all of those other countries, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, you know, Togo, Burkina Faso, Uganda, whatever, all of them south of that are, you know, perceived as the African countries. And they're saying that some of those countries, particularly in the western part of Africa, Senegal, Ghana, you know, Cote d'Ivoire and Togo and so forth, are in danger. Sierra Leone, Nigeria, because of climate change. So climate change is going to affect the whole planet. You know, I forgot to talk to this Puerto Rican sister the other day to ask about what's going on in Puerto Rico. And because to me, just like in Flint, when you're talking about all this other madness, what to do with money, and you appropriated so much money to military and so much money to other things, you're talking about building this damn wall. I mean, this is so idiotic about what's happening right now. It just begs to differ about the insanity of the individual that is occupying the White House. It's crazy that he's sending all these damn troops down to the border for some people who ain't there and won't be there for another damn week. And all they're coming with, man, oh man, oh man. Well, let me go through this, and that is sovereignty for African people. Man, I tell you, sovereignty for African people, the most successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. This is from Baba Baruti, Mwali Mumbaruti. If you're lucky enough, if you're on Facebook, Baba Baruti be sending out some gems. Believe me, some gems. If you are on Facebook, friend Baba Mwali Mumbaruti, Wally K. Bomani Baruti. B-A-R-U-T-I. B-A-R-U-T-I. Baruti. Mwalimu. M-W-A-L-I-M-U. Mwalimu Baruti. Excellent stuff that he's been throwing out. In fact, he sent me this one piece on sovereignty. Let me try to read this before we go to the break. Because that's what this program is about. That's what we should all be about. That is the ultimate goal. When people talk about what is the end game, all this stuff that we're doing, what are we trying to achieve? What is our goal? Our goal should be sovereignty. That means independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. That means absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources. We control our story, our culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interest, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, and how we deal with enemies within, those traitors, or without any of those people who want to do us harm. And how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-empowered, and self-respecting people. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are has a direct reflection of our ancestors. So sovereignty is our ultimate goal. It's our ultimate goal. And, you know, when people talk about people trying to vote, our ancestors who tried to vote and couldn't vote, and so we should be voting for. I don't know. Because we have been so removed. Even our ancestors of the 1800s have been removed from the African mindset for hundreds of years. And so to me, if us voting wants to help us put us in this condition, help us be a little bit better in Europeans' world, I'm not sure I can give less than a rat's ass about voting. Now, if you have a vote, and that vote talks about what our direction is going to be, I'm down with that vote. I'll vote. If you have a vote that talks about reparations and the direction the reparations should take, should people get money or buildings to do it, I'll vote. But if you're talking about putting a candidate in the madness that we know that is D.C. or state government or local government. Now, I don't understand, once again, on a local level, there are some people who have been voted into office and have done good things, and great for them. Sovereignty, absolutes, no certain order, but these are the absolutes. The social and cultural reconnection of African people with each other globally. Number two, the development of a military capable of defending both the African continent against any aggressor and African people, wherever they may reside on the face of this planet, as well as having the authority to maintain national and continent-wide order. Number three, our representative umbrella government overseeing the affairs and interests of Africans global with the command center in Africa. Number four, the removal of divisive and artificial political boundaries from the African continent, which Europeans drew up in the 1884-85 at the Berlin Conference. So when you look at a political map, those lines, when you see those boundaries, they were not done by us. So to me, remove them. And if we want to put some boundaries down, we'll do so. The removal of the presence of a power of non-African people from our motherland, Chinese, Indians, Koreans, Europeans, you name it. Get out right now. And if we want to deal with you, once we're together, you can come deal. But at the state that we're in right now, you will take advantage of us like you've been doing and like they're doing at this very moment. Number six, global citizenship for all African people, i.e. African people should be allowed to freely travel wherever African people are, especially across the continent, and to do it from the diaspora and the continent without the hindrance of a system of visas that work to make physical contact between individuals in different countries and states difficult. It's number seven, fully functional transportation system with the capacity to readily move African people and resources wherever we are, and they need to go on the continent and around the world at will and independent of other people's land, sea, or aircraft carriers. Air carriers, not aircraft carriers, air carriers. Number eight, a political apparatus mobilized to realize non-negotiated reparations and inform financial, business, technical facilities, make sure our story and artifacts and you know, from wherever they have been transported, hoarded, and profited from around the world, give us our stuff. Like Britain told Ethiopia, I can loan it to you. I stole your stuff, but I ain't giving it back. I'll loan it to you. Number nine, the actual material, institutional, infrastructural, technological, and retaliatory apparatus commensurate with spiritual, genetic, social, cultural, and resource damage done to African people by Europeans, Arabs, and Asians. Number 10, the large-scale promotion and institutionalization of lifestyle, ritual, language, and material aspects of our indigenous traditions and international educational institutions, systems, and pedagogy that is able to incorporate both the appropriate non-culturally contaminated contemporary technology and the moral and ethical values and ways of thinking and doing of our people into a functional and proper education for our youth. Number 11, the creation of the Europeanizing, re-educating, re-Africanization, evaluation, and correction or removal agency whose mission it is to determine the severity and correctability of each individual's menticide in order to assess how Africans returning to our countries and communities should be spiritually, psychologically, and physically processed in order to best protect our spaces and intended discourse. Number 12. The establishment of an internal and external internationally and information and gathering agency designed to assist us in making informed decisions about threats to African security and able to authorize and deploy agencies whose loyalty to the African nation is beyond reproach to gather said information. Number 13, the removal of our land from foreign ownership, control and occupation, and return of this land to the control and the equability distributed by the state, tribe, and clan. The massive reintroduction of non-cash crop farming technologies in the schools and the fields. The nationalization of the industry, of the industries that can best produce these necessities that are essential for the survival, i.e. food, clothing, transportation, infrastructure, building materials, etc., for African people. The development of a fair, non-judgmental people's social welfare system, resolving enough to handle the difficult and deliberating conditions people find themselves in and are often by which are either the result of new institutions and events or outcomes of foreign invasion, destruction, and exploitation, or both. That is, until these problems become manageable through the state having to return their former levels of benevolence and effectiveness. So if we can handle it, so be it. The removal of the prison system as a punitive instrument and is replaced with a strong corporal moral law and rehabilitative, compensatory, service-oriented system of corrections. Those are just some of the things that with sovereignty, with understanding what sovereignty is, how better it is for us, how better it will be for us. And that's what we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we will have further discussion. So you stay right here with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And other programs that are on Time for an Awakening Media today, Monday, this evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness on Wednesdays. On Fridays from 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays at 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. And you can call and give your questions, comments, or concerns. And or just give us your African perspective. Since and Sister Mama Okosua, she gave me a call and stated there were some issues that she had to deal with. And I understand. And really appreciate her calling. She's a sister out of Philadelphia that helps with the Philly Locks Conference, where brothers and sisters with locks and natural hair come and celebrate who we are. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but once again, I'm going to have her on the program, and she'll probably get a chance to talk about that. And it's held in October in Philly. So the Locks Conference. In fact, broadcast from there at one time, Brother Elliot, Time for an Awakening, broadcast from there. Oh, we got a caller. Caller 404. Caller 404, go ahead. Okay, just want to listen. Okay, that's cool too. Okay.
Yes, is that me you're speaking with?
Yes, yes. Queen Ali, how are you, Queen?
I'm well.
Good.
Hotep, everyone.
Hotep.
Not to interrupt the flow, just calling in to see where y'all at.
Okay,
what's going on?
Well, you know, I remember I was talking to you. I said we're going to have a sister panel on today, and we'll definitely welcome your call and input, but unfortunately that didn't materialize for a number of reasons. But it will happen in the very immediate future. I will contact those sisters to see what their availability will be on a particular day and try to make that happen. Because I definitely would love to hear the perspective of our sisters, particularly the right-minded sisters, you know. And there's a number of issues that are out there that we would love to hear them give a conversation to. So we'll definitely be doing that, okay?
Yes. All right. And to add to that, it does take both the male and the female to make a community, to make a home, to make a society, and to make a nation. It does.
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely does. And that's something that we have seen in our studies of classical African civilizations, as well as ancient civilizations, as well as even contemporary civilizations for African people. It is men and women together to produce family. Because the reason why we don't have good community life today is because we don't have good family life.
And that's up to us.
No, no doubt. But we also must understand why we don't have good family life. You know, we got to understand that. We got to understand that this society has never wanted the African family to be strong. You know, there's a saying goes that conditions shape conduct and consciousness. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. What are the conditions in our community? Are they good or bad? They're bad. What is the conduct towards each other?
Is it good or bad? Well, it's bad. Why? Because we lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. So if we had that deeper understanding of who we are, we would have respect for one another, love for one another. Our community would be stronger. We would it wouldn't be an issue about voting because we would know who to vote for and put the right persons in that would deal with our issues. It wouldn't be an issue about how we spend our money. Because we will be conscious of how that money should be turned around in our community 3 or 4 times before it ever left our hands. It wouldn't be an issue if we pull those resources and we could develop some goods and services that our community needs, providing as well as jobs. It wouldn't be an issue. But we are a manipulated, undermined, preyed on community. And people look towards us for their financial well-being. Hell, people, I mean, what they see about us because of the Western media, Europeans, and the people come over here with the express purpose of taking advantage of our community. I will never forget being at the NAACP convention in Denver, Colorado in 1980 when Ronald Reagan spoke at that convention, but the hell with Ronald Reagan. What I remember is a brother from Philadelphia on the convention plenary floor, literally in tears, talking about the transition that is going on, the gentrification that that is going on in his community, talking about all these Arab store owners and da-da-da. And no sooner did he said that, when I got back to Milwaukee, the same thing was happening there. And as you've seen, the same thing happened all over.
Yes.
We live in these communities. They may call it the black community, but it is not ours. We don't control it. We don't run nothing. Yes. Many of the service stations. There's places where we don't even have a damn service station. In Milwaukee, they only have one service station owned by a sister, Sister Diane. And every time I go to Milwaukee, I don't give a damn how far I got to drive. I'm going to her.
Yes.
Cleaners, you name it. All the things that everything that we need, we should be providing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So
perhaps us coming together as men and women, brothers and sisters, elders who lead the way and know the way because of the weary road we have trod.
Yeah.
Our parents have trod. Our foreparents have trod. Our first mothers and fathers have trod the weary road we have trod. We should come to, we have to, it's a must, not talking and address this leadership, all of them, so-called leadership, address ourselves, our issues.
Yeah.
And look, I'm still kind of really angry, feeling some kind of a way about the $1 billion we gave away in 2 months time. 2 months, black people. 2 months, $1 billion we gave away. And that don't include the clothing and the accessories that we spent with anyone who don't address our own conscious issues. So, you know, sometimes you have to go through the pain to know what good really is.
Well, the bottom line is we don't have leadership. We don't have
we don't.
You know, the deal, Queen, is that we're dealing with a 2-party system, and both within those 2-party system, the maintenance of it is European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And so contained
in
that
privilege and white supremacy, yeah.
You're right, right. I don't use those words. I don't use those words, you know, because and people always say, well, you know, they're not supreme. And no, they're not. But there's one thing for damn sure. I say extremism because they're very extreme, that the bottom line is they believe they are. And there's nothing we can do to make them change. No amount of proof, because there's ample amounts of proof that they're not. But there's nothing we can do or say to change that. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they are, And that's it. And because of that belief, they believe that they have the right to do whatever the hell that they want to do, and whatever consequences that may befall, y'all deal with them, because they're going to do what they're going to do. And they also have fragility. They're fragile. This is Caucasian Dr. D'Angelo came up with this term, Caucasian fragility, white fragility, which means that they're fragile. They want to believe that they're good, moral people. They want to believe that they've gave the world, that because of their position, the world is better. You know, that's what they want to believe.
You know? Yes, but we know better. Go ahead, Brother right. O'Shea, and I'll come in as you.
Okay, dear. I'm going to read a piece from Black Agenda Report. I haven't read anything from Black Agenda Report, so you hang on, okay, my sister? All right.
Yes, yes.
Peace. Oh, 646, go ahead.
Hotep Ocean to the Queen if she's still on the air.
Yes, she is. Yeah, Jay, I didn't. Man, I didn't get my panel together, man. A couple of sisters, they backed out on me. But I'm going to get that together, because you're going to want to hear these sisters. I know them, and I know what they can bring to the table. So I apologize to our listeners about that. I know you were.
Jay. I was waiting. I did what I had to do, came back in, and I was waiting. Yeah. But what I was calling you about is, what's the fever down there in Atlanta, man, for the big dog and pony show tomorrow, man?
Well,
our brothers and sisters out there in droves.
Oh, well, let me say this.
For us to go support, the daddy and his, fictional character that will be leading it.
Well, let me say this. I believe that neither candidate will get the 50% that would be necessary to claim victory. So I believe it's going to be, because there's a libertarian candidate in the mix. And so that individual will take votes away from either or. You know, now, in the runoff, who will those votes go for? I don't know that either, you know. But I believe that's what's going to happen, because you had to get a 50%.
Oh, she can't win the runoff now. That's not going to happen. If it's just her and him, and the runoff and all of the suppression work that character did do it, she ain't got a snowball chance in hell, because that's just going to give him more time to redefine his actions.
And
that's just going to allow him to fine tune the things that he already got into place, man.
And
the Negro will never come back. The Negro will never come back and work harder for, and you know the Yoruba not. The Yoruba give you one chance.
You got that chance. You got that chance. You blew it, huh?
That's it. I gave the Negro one chance, and the Negro couldn't get the job done. It's time for me to move on and go back home.
Excuse me?
Hey, Queen, what you got to say?
Can you hear me?
Sure, go ahead.
May I say something
here?
Sure. Thank you. I'm really so tired of addressing what we cannot do. This sister has already won. She has shown figuratively and literally to be a winner. So whether she gets over this time, maybe next time. But we shouldn't give up, and we shouldn't say no, and we should stop addressing ourselves in the negative. As far as I'm concerned, she is a winner. She has already won. Her and all of us across the country who put ourselves out there for the people, as they have.
Let me say this, Queen. What did she
won? You're talking about her now. The African American vote has been increased by at least 30, 20, 40%. Not just us, the Yoruba as well has increased their voter power, their voter input. That's what we have won. We have elevated the attention. Yes. You know why? Because we can see our power now. We should see it in increments. It ain't all just going to come overnight.
What,
it's not going to come
overnight. Wait
in
a minute, what power?
Route.
Queen, what power? What are you talking about?
We don't have any power. We just gave away $1 billion.
That's not power. That's just money. That's their money.
If you don't see any power, then you look again. Look again. Stop referring to ourselves in the negative.
Do you produce the money? Do you manufacture 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 the money? Do you produce the money? All you do is give the money and give it back to your oppressor. Do you have community?
That's our condition, Aki.
So how do you believe if you're still under, if you are the worst condition than 50 years ago?
Okay,
all
right.
I'm not going to argue with you. Either you do
I'm not arguing with you.
Hold up, y'all.
And I'm giving you the answer.
But your answers are not...
Okay, I've muted both of y'all so you can hear me. Okay, the bottom line is this, is that when you talk about power... No, we don't have any power, Queen. No, we don't. Because what is power? Power is the ability to define reality. That's what power is. Europeans, Caucasians, they define the reality. And unfortunately for us, we have accepted their definition as if it's our own. So, no, power is not money. That's not power. Because we gave away $2 billion or whatever amount of money. They say that the amount of money we have, we would be the seventh purchasing. So we can't translate that into what is real for African people. And because an American African is a millionaire, hell, even a billionaire, that doesn't mean that's going to be great for African people collectively. Because that's how we should look at things. Because if somebody achieves something, particularly in the Europeans' world, that's not power. Power is the ability to define reality. So for us to have true power, then yes, we must define reality for ourselves. We must shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about money here. You have the power over yourself to define and constitute your own reality, us as a collective. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking. We could get all the money right now and give it right back to them.
And that's
I'm
what
not
we do.
Talking about, I'm not talking about our assimilation with them. I don't think like that. I can't afford to.
Okay,
address our own issues. So don't talk to me like I don't know. I do.
Let me say
and
this.
It's a mentality, it's a mindset.
Right.
And an image, an African image that we have to start announcing over and over and over again.
Let me say this.
To ourselves.
Queen.
Hey, y'all hear me?
Yeah, Wes, hold on. I can hear you, Wes. Hold on.
All right.
Thank you. In this instant, what we're saying here, and I'm going to go to you, Wes, then I'm going to go back to Jay so we can keep some order up in this madness. What I'm saying here is that an African reality will not work in the European concept of what they've constructed. Your African reality, you may do that independently, but not for us collectively. There might be a little small group, because even in this country where you have some small groups, that a Wabian Nation, the Yoruba down in South Carolina and so forth, but they still pay taxes. They still got to do this, that, and the other, because why? They in America. But obviously they're trying to create a small bit of reality for themselves. I ain't talking about that. And that's great. I'm talking about a serious collective effort where we can break away from this madness. That's not happening. Our very lives are controlled and dictated by the system. And this is an evil system. Let me say this. I'd rather do something for us in a reality of my own choosing than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is Europeans' dream. This is their reality.
They shaped and fashioned. They have power. They shaped and fashioned this in their image and in their interest. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in the Europeans' reality? Who are we? First, we were a soulless people, justifying our captivity, justifying our enslavement. And then what happened? After the enslavement was over, now we're people who have, we're no fit fathers, no fit mothers. The image of us is has discouraged as violent prone perverts and so forth, drug dealers, drug users. Because this is their reality.
Footstool, Oshie.
Say what, Jay?
We is footstool. That's all we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm saying for us, regardless if Stacey Abrams wins tomorrow, or the dude in Florida, Gillum wins in Florida, or Ben Jealous wins in Maryland, or any other local level victories that may happen tomorrow, or Congress, all the sisters that are running. That was one of the questions when they asked the sisters, because there's a number of American African women who are running for political office. A couple of them are Republican. But the point being that these women are running for political office, and so what does that really mean for us? Because once again, they're running in a system that is, by its very design, to denigrate us, to demean us, to suppress us. They're in a system, and that only a few. So go ahead, Wes. Go ahead. What you got to say, brother?
Hey, I think what my sister was trying to explain is, see, I never argue with a woman, brother. You never win that. But that's a waste, bro. All you're going to do is spin your wheels. But what she was saying, regardless, Stacey Abrams don't even win. They won. A woman feels she won because the lady was in the race, in the ring. Okay, and I got a list of some women candidates that's running in Georgia. One is Oprah Thurman. She running for state school superintendent.
So where is this at? Where are they running? Is this here in Georgia? Or is this all across the country?
State school superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's Oprah Thurman. You know that's a black lady name. All right? So my point of view is, my brother, it's not when they win, I'm going to be, like I said, we got to put some feet in the matter, which we should have done, and get them to fuck do. Cause like what Ellen was saying about the black agenda. Okay, my agenda is, like I told you, and I meant to tell Elliot, is about this Jubilee thing. I don't know if I told you that, where Jubilee is. After 7 years, anybody that was had a bad record get expunged and sealed, particularly if you didn't do no sexual crime and no murder. Okay, that's the whole objective for me. I hope my sister is in Georgia, and also the other one is for senior citizens that's been in their house for over 25 years, not to pay, and they paid their property tax, no property taxes. Okay. So that's going to be my objective on Wednesday, to talk to both of them, Gillum and Stacey. All right. And look at here, man. If you want to know who I am, because the brother made a statement last night, but all I do is research. He said it before. Look at here, man. You remember when, what's that dude, Troy, got killed up here in the penitentiary? I can't forget his last name. Troy Davis. Remember that a couple of years ago?
Okay.
Okay, I was right there at that prison, bro. And if you go to Democracy Now and see what I said to Amy Gooden, I put my black behind on the line and called for a statewide boycott of Georgia. This is 2:10, 2:11. My life been played by the Ku Klux Klan, brother. Okay? I called, you pull up, go to Democracy Now, Troy Davis, 2010, I think 2011, and see my interview with Amy Gooden on Democracy Now.
Okay.
And the Klan been at me, bro. I'm a real soldier. Okay, I don't do no just talking on the radio, arguing at no woman. And that's all I got to say, man. Peace and blessing. I let somebody else talk, man.
All right, Wes. All right. Let me say this. The bottom line is this. Is that, and I like that idea, Wes, and that's kind of cool. But let's be real. We in America,
And America don't give a damn about nobody but Caucasians. This was started by them for their just like when Trump won. Hail Trump, hail victory. The neo-Nazis, the nationalists, the skinheads, all of them, hail Trump, hail victory. That's why when people say that Donald Trump created the atmosphere that you see today, where these Caucasians have become emboldened to snatch hijabs off Muslim women's heads and to visibly, openly attack African people, shoot them, kill them, is because that mindset that is always there. This ain't nothing new. It's always there, but it has been blessed as a way to maintain the Europeans' dominance and control. And so for us to get all huffy and puffy about some damn elections, when we know the history that after the election is over, it's back to what? Business as usual.
And that's the thing that is the most frustrating in dealing with our people, because we act sometimes like we don't understand the behavior of this Shirugu and what he's done to us. And that the only way we feel whole as a people is if we find ourselves integrating into his system and basically being his slave again, instead of looking for sovereignty. Now, how is it, because I asked the question, I'm arguing with his sister. So what you're saying to me is, I don't have a right to ask a person a question when I disagree with their premise. So now I'm argumentative, I'm angry, I'm all of these things. No, I'm not referring that to you, sister. I'm referring it to the brother that made the statement. Now, this sister can ask me anything, and if I can answer it, I'll answer it. If I can't, I can't answer it. And if I'm wrong, then it's her right to feel that I'm wrong, and it's my right to feel that I'm right. But how am I arguing with somebody because I just asked them a question? And this is the situation that we as African people are in, because we start to ask ourselves who and what we are when we question our own people, but we never question the Urugu about the brutality that he puts on our people each and every day. Because we feel in our hearts and in our minds that we are not to never question him. Why? Because of the way that he has
trained us.
May I speak?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Queen.
May I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
Brother, we were not arguing. We were having a civil discussion. That's what he said. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. We can, old lady told me teeth and tongue fall out. And we're going to have differences. We're going to have them like a family. But we resolve them. What is, my question is, we know all of that. We know where we are, those who are conscious and of African-centered mind. We know this. We know who he is. No one on the planet knows him better than us. No one. What are we going to do about our own self and our own identity? When are we going to start addressing again our problem? That's not my only, but that's the basis of where we have to start from. And that's why I say we do have power. When we start to look at one another, help one another, resolve our issues, and solve our problems. Our problems are internal as much as they are external. We know who the Hurugu is. We know what he's done to us. But still we rise. We're the kings and the queens of the planet. Let's just identify
with that and with ourselves and get support and help and resolutions to ourselves first. Because, you know, we ain't going, you know, let's just try and do that. Let's start there and teach our people and keep teaching and keep teaching as our master teachers have sacrificed their whole lives to teach us. So that's where I'm at. I know who they are and I know who I am. And I know what kind of conditions our people live under. Let's just stop the name calling, stop the arguing, stop the fighting. So what, we have a little loud disagreement. African people talk loud and we dance loud and we live loud. So what? So let's just try to address our own issues. We talk more about them than we do about us. So I'm cool.
Okay. Brother Jay?
Well, I agree with this sister 100%, and it was like I was saying, what are we going to do after tomorrow if things don't turn out the way that we expected to? Are we going to become suicidal like some people say? Are we going to move forward and get to a position of betterment for the community? I mean, you know, the one thing that we must examine is the psychological toll that this whole election is taking on our people once it's over. I mean, think about it. If this woman doesn't win tomorrow, do you know, and let's be honest about it, do you know the type of psychological damage that that's going to do to some of our people because of her not winning tomorrow? Do you know, do we even take into consideration what's going to happen to the mindset of our people?
Well, let me say this, Jay. Once again, we'll, you know, we'll be hurt. And the cracker says, you'll get over it, you know, because I'm going to continue to do what I've done to you because that's what I do. I'll continue to give you the illusion of your inclusion in my system. And so, and even if she wins, that's not going to mean anything monumental for us as African people. And let's be clear with that, you know. So, I mean, the bottom line is that either we're going to separate ourselves mentally and possibly physically from a situation that we know is no good for us and then formulate a system and a situation that will deal with our needs. We can't do it here. We can't be sovereign here in this country. And
all of that, I agree with what you're saying. But, you know, remember when we were coming into consciousness, really in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, how we had brothers like Amos Wilson, the Naeem Akbars, the Bobby Wrights, doing the literary work to help us deal with this process of what we're going through. Where are those psychologists at right now? Are they out there? Because, you know, it amazes me how I could still go back and read Amos Wilson and listen to Amos's lectures, and it's as poignant today as it was when he was producing it. But when I look around and I try to find some of the updated analysis by our psychologists, It's hard to find it. Especially that matches on the level of Amos Wilson.
Right,
and
it's
I
not
think
there.
This is one of the things that we as an African people are suffering from. We need someone to honestly, an anthropologist maybe, or someone else, to do a study on the American Negro. Think about that. No, it's not funny.
Let me tell you, Jay, let me tell you why I chuckled. Because it's been done. It continues to be done. They Europeans have done it. And we have done it. The bottom line is...
African,
say what?
I said an African doing it. You
right.
know, Someone, imagine right. if Amos Wilson did it before he went to the ancestors.
Well, there's no doubt. And we have some social theorists around at this time. But the bottom line is that we're in an environment that is not conducive to the betterment for African people. This environment, the intent of this environment is for some of us to do okay and a lot of us not.
This environment. Why do you see that in most of them don't, OC?
Say it again, Jay. I'm sorry.
Why do you see that and most others don't? Why is it that the people like Stacey Abrams and the Gilliams and the rest of them?
Because they
really
want to believe.
Anything wrong. Why
they,
is that?
They want to believe that this system, the American system, the way the European has purported it to be of equity, of fairness, the land of the free, the home of the brave, all this old bull. They want to believe that. And they want to believe that they can get into state government, federal government, citywide county government, and make fundamental changes that will be a benefit not for African people, but for all people. Because remember, all of those positions, you're running for the state. You're running for the county. You're running for the city. You're not running for us as African people. But the belief is that there's a rising tide within that system. I mean, with when you get in that system and you're the president, the chairperson, the governor, the mayor, whatever, and that rising tide will lift all the boats. And of course, you know that ain't true. And so even if she does win tomorrow.
I need to ask you this. You're saying that they believe by being a part of this system that the conditions of African people will change to the point of what? Acceptance by the Yoruba? Because
yes.
I could never ever think that a Yoruba will ever accept her.
No, see, Jay, you know. Jay, you know. But the people who run for political office believe. There's only a few people that I know who are in politics who are African. There's a brother, research this brother, Ernie Chambers in Omaha, Nebraska. He's been a member of the state of Nebraska.
I know you.
You know, yeah. Am I right about Ernie Chambers?
I'm in New York.
Yeah. I mean, Ernie Chambers, you know, I admire and respect him. I had a chance to even be on a panel with him in Omaha, Nebraska. That's one of my favorite cities. My best friend, Ron T, is from Omaha, Nebraska. No, he's not from Omaha. He's from Cleveland, but he lives in Omaha. But anyway, I'm saying is that he's the kind of legislator that I would admire and respect. And there's a few others. There's a few even in the state of Wisconsin. But the bottom line is that those individuals, they know that a lot of times there's no quid pro quo with them. There's no quid pro quo. Now, I wash your back if you wash mine, or under the handle, under the table. There's none of that. They are strictly there to deal with the issues that affect their constituency and to improve that situation. Now, there's very few who are in state, local, national government that are like that. Hell, people get in and stay in those positions by manipulating, by taking bribes, by taking money from lobbyists. And they stay there. And they stay there, as you know, like Charles Rangel did 40 damn years. Like John Lewis. I seen the John Lewis sign over here by my house. I'm like, damn, my John Lewis. You know, and yet we don't develop a succession plan where we see a younger person. That younger person would probably be 30-something years old, damn near 40. And that's not young. It's young compared to the person that's in office who's been there 40 years, and they 60-something years old, damn near 70 years old, and nothing really fundamentally has changed for us as a people. In fact, honestly, it's become worse even with Barack Obama as president. When everybody thought that Barack Obama being president, that somehow there was something, there's going to be some magical change. And I said this, and I'll say it again. In 2008, I said, if the election of Barack Obama, that in a small incremental measure, that there's less
mass incarceration, better health, better education, better housing for our people. I ain't talking about general. I'm talking about for Africans here in America. And that was not the case. In fact, it was worse. More of us were killed by police and authority under Barack Obama's administration than even the previous one. And of course, we know what happened with the Clintons. I hate them. They began the mass incarceration. We must bring these people, these super predators, to heal. I'm saying to us is that, you know, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard these brothers and sisters who are running for political office and the people who have a feel good about their situation, it will not change for us fundamentally, monumentally, or incrementally, or any other way. In fact, not even a status quo will be maintained for us. We will be diminished because we've been consistently being diminished if you look at the record. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, no, go ahead, Queen. I hear you want to get in. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. Of course, all that we say, our answer is not with this so-called governmental institution and process. That is not our answer. Our answer lies within our own selves. The brother asked the question, where are the leaders? Look in the mirror. What you know you should teach. All of us are not going to go back to Africa. Some of us are going to be left here and want to stay here. So what? But our answer lies within our own African identity, primarily.
That's
you
right.
Have
you
to
me,
know
brother?
Who you are.
I hear you, Wes.
You have to.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry.
No, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Queen.
Go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? You are the leader, Brother Jay. You are the leader. Be the change. You have the knowledge. You have the passion. You have the intellect. Go to those schools and read to the children. They don't see an African identity. We're in the process now. You know, go do something for Kwanzaa.
I mentor children.
You're an African
every
identity.
Day out the week. That's what I do.
Okay. Good. Keep doing it. I know you're frustrated and mad. So am I. But we have to, the struggle continues. Keep doing it. Be the change. These children, these young men who are incarcerated, these older brothers can tell them who are incarcerated that they didn't have the identity that they need. These young brothers, and I'm talking about brothers 40 years old and younger, they need an African identity that they can see visually. So we have to present it to them, those of us who have been elevated and blessed enough to recognize this. So we have to be the change. We have to start with ourselves. We have to initiate an African identity. Then we can go, if we go back to Africa now, what can we offer them? They don't even identify with us.
That's not true. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, not
Queen,
entirely.
Queen,
it's
Queen.
Entirely not true.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. So, but you know,
we offer more collectively than we can individually if we come together and identify something that we could trade.
What can we do?
Okay,
now what can we do? I agree. What can we do? What can we do? Our problem is national. In this whole, the borders of this America.
No, no, no.
America.
No, 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 no.
Our problem is national.
No, no. Our problem is global. Our problem is global. We're dealing with a system, a European Caucasian extremism,
yes,
racism,
yes,
and
yes,
privilege, which
yes,
is a global
yes.
phenomenon.
And that's why I say they don't identify with us because they in the homeland are identifying with this Urugu identity.
And the point being, okay. I
don't know so much that they're identifying with it. I think that it's being pushed on them to the point to where as they're having a hard time fighting back against it. I don't think they'll never, ever truly identify with it because of the brutality of our enslavement.
Right, the history.
They understand, but you know, they're just in a situation to where, in truthfulness, we as African people here in America haven't gone and given them an alternative. And everybody needs an alternative to what's being pushed by the dominant culture. So we're about, it's like I said, we could come together here and do something over there with our people. We could lead to a change. You know, that's why they fight so hard to keep us separated.
Yep.
As the African people here and there. Yep. You ever notice how hard this Urugu goes about keeping us from uniting? You know how hard it is to even get people to listen to Pan-African and nationalist ideas because of the way that we've been brutally attacked by this Urugu. So whereby when you have somebody like a Dr. Baruti or others putting forward something from an African perspective, what's the, one of the first things you hear? I don't want to hear that African mess. I don't want to hear that African mess. I'm not African. You know, that's what they have been greatly able to do, is to control our ideas, our opinions, every facet of how we could unite as one, as an African people. They've basically put something up against it, and we just haven't been able to bust through yet. But we are going to bust through.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Because that's the only way we're going to survive. Yeah. We're going to claim victory against this Urugu. It's just history. No, no empire has lasted forever. Wait. Let's just hope that our great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be able to witness the freedom of African people.
Ashe, but let me say this, Jay, and Brother West, I'm going to get you in a minute. Just hold on. And I mentioned that 1980 NAACP convention. And at that NAACP convention, there was another incident that happened with me, because I had read an article months prior. It was Ben Civiletti who was at the convention, but the article dealt with Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. If you ever seen Zbigniew Brzezinski, he looks like he looks evil, literally looks evil. And so the article dealt with African people coming together. And that article stated that this government would do any and everything to prevent African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora coming together, because they know that our unity ends their dominance, particularly over us. Our unity ends their exploitation of us and our resources. Our unity signals to the world, that humanity has hope. Because with this cracker, there is no hope. You know, so
you know his daughter is on TV every day.
Oh, that's
right.
You told me that. No, yes, right. You told me Zbigniew Brzezinski's daughter.
His daughter is the co-host of Morning Joe. Mika Brzezinski.
Oh, okay.
That's dangerous.
Morning Joe. That's
African people never talk about how dangerous that Urugu is. He's a dangerous Urugu, man.
Is that Morning Joe? Is that MSNBC?
Morning Joe. That's his daughter.
Is that his daughter?
He used to come on before he died on Morning Joe at least once every 2 weeks.
Really?
To do his thing.
Now, he knows dope,
B.
Now, Jay, is that MSNBC or is that...
MSNBC, Morning Joe. Okay. That's his daughter.
Yeah, I'm going to listen. Okay. But, I mean...
Read her stuff. She's just as much as a globalist
sure.
as she is.
Sure.
But she don't articulate it on the level that he did. But when I read his book, I was absolutely shocked, man, that someone could get away with being as evil as he was.
I mean, not only truly he was, I mean, a lot of times you see people and they have a look to them that you think that they're okay, you know, but yet their intent is what it is. He looked that way and he acted that way. You know, he literally looked evil and acted evil.
Had a lot of influence over the world.
Oh, yes, over the world.
And let me leave you with this. You know what his biggest thing was and why he hated Russia so much? Is because what they did to Poland.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was Polish.
That was his biggest issue was,
yeah.
And he was allowed. Now, this is the thing that I could never understand. He was allowed as a foreigner to come into this country and be able to dictate the things he was is absolutely amazing, yeah. Ochi.
Well, but the bottom line is, no matter what country you are, you Caucasian? Are you European? And if you is, then there's a place for you. Hey, Brother West, you got anything to say before we close? All right. Guess not. Sister Ali, you got anything before we close, Queen?
Yes, it's not just him. It's not Brzezinski. It's all of them are the same. It's no different.
I hear you.
The name may change.
That's right.
You know, it's no different.
That's
it's
right.
been going on.
That's right. The name may change, but the mentality is the same. Brother Jay.
Queen.
Yep. Go ahead, Brother Jay.
No, I agree with you, Queen. And listen, it was an honor speaking with you for this last hour, and I hope that you have a beautiful day, and we are in totally agreement that the enemy is the Yoruba, and we're going to continuously fight against him and his oppression of our people. Hotep, and y'all have a beautiful day. Peace and love.
We end this program like we end every program with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody want, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio family, peace.
Peace.